Well, hello again. Let's see here. Lunch was very good. I as well. I'm tired and I'm still thinking about lunch. So, what to expect, what not to expect. You know, when I first came in, I knew very little about AA. I knew nothing about sponsorship. I had lots of demands on a sponsor. I wanted them to love me. I wanted them to give me money if I needed money. I wanted them to bum me cigarettes and buy me lunch. And I wanted my sponsor to invite me to live with her when I was out of the sober house. You know, I had all these expectations, you know, that all had to do with me and my poor, pitiful life. And obviously that's changed. I really didn't know anything about sponsorship. I didn't know enough to expect anything. You know, as time goes, you know, I look back on it now and I know what I should have expected. You know, but back then I didn't expect that. What I know today is what I expect in my sponsor is that she grows before me. I need somebody who is still growing, still spiritually seeking, and she's doing it ahead of me. And she's teaching me as she goes. I think that's important. Like I said, you know, the sponsor that I had, Kathleen, she halted. You know, she was no longer growing before me. And it was funny because she gave me a bookmark on my one-year sobriety date. And this bookmark had like the 12 things of sponsorship, and one of them was that the sponsor grows before you. So I found that ironic. But you know, her life happened, and she got a little bit busy, and you know, stuff like that happens. But that's one thing that I expect from a sponsor today, is that they grow before me. Dustin alluded to it. He did such a good job, so I don't even know what to say. But, you know, the things I don't expect anymore are money. I don't expect a sponsor to worry about my feelings. I expect them to tell me the truth, because that's what I need to hear. You know, I still suffer from delusion today. I still can't see, you know, some of the crazy things that are going on in my life. And when I explain them to them and, you know, like Dustin said, in just the right way so I hear what I want to hear, I expect for them to see through that and tell me the truth instead of worry about my feelings and agree with me and share in that resentment. That's one thing I've seen in Alcoholics Anonymous is, you know, I was sitting at a picnic, an AA picnic, and I'm sitting next to a sponsor and her sponsee, and they're literally sharing in a resentment together. And I was just like, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen. I hope my sponsor never does this with me. You know, because it was just the weirdest thing to see that, you know, it wasn't like the sponsor was saying, oh, maybe you should write some inventory on that, or let's take a look at that, or what are your mistakes in this relationship? They were sharing in this resentment together. And it was an awakening for me at that point, because I was like, I hope my sponsor never does that to me, and I hope I never do that with anyone I sponsor. You know, so I think the most important thing to expect is obviously that they've been through the work and that they can take you through that work in the beginning, but also that they're growing ahead of you. You know, I don't think that you should spiritually surpass your sponsor. I think that they should be leading the way, you know, but shoulder to shoulder, but they should know ahead of time, you know, to be able to teach you. Yeah, that's all I have. Thanks.
Now we're getting into the second part of the pamphlet, which is kind of addressed to wanting to be a sponsor, which is a thankless job at times. But how does it help you? Having someone love me enough to tell me the truth, and then learning that that was okay to do in Alcoholics Anonymous, that I didn't have to just endorse someone else's alcoholism, completely delusional and just off the track, it was okay for me to say, like, you know, we may want to take a look at this because it doesn't really seem to match up with that wonderful stuff you shared in the meeting the other day. To be able to be truthful with somebody else. You know, what do I get? What does it help me? You know, it's, well, how does it help me? That was what I wanted to know in the beginning. Well, the accountability that my sponsor told me about when I started sponsoring other men really came to life. Because if I'm going to ask them to go down to the detox, guess what? Whether I want to go or not, I'm going to the detox tomorrow night. I can tell you right now, this is a busy weekend. I don't particularly want to go to detox tomorrow. But I'll be there anyway. Because the guys I sponsor said, show me how you do this. I said, well, we go to detox on the fourth Sunday of the month and the fifth Sunday of the month after our home group. I don't want to go. Guess what? Holds me accountable to the program of action. Holds me accountable to do what I said I would do. Because I'm asking them, because they've asked for help, to do what they say they're going to do. You know, the other deal is my life is really rich today because of sponsorship. Having a sponsor is one thing, but being a sponsor is a completely different deal. You know, it's that old adage, you know, you got to give it away to keep it. You can't keep it unless you give it away. Man, carrying this message straight out of the pages of the Big Book to another alcoholic, and I've read with lots of drunks. I've sat down and started getting into this process with lots of guys. Not all of them have stuck. Some of them went to different sponsors. Some of them got drunk. Some of them went to prison. Some of them left states. You know, I don't know. What it's done is it has enriched my own recovery. It has strengthened the ideas found in the basic text within me. You know, I've talked to teachers, and the people that teach things know it. They just know it because they're teaching it on a regular basis. Being a sponsor involves a principle that when I give it to you, I get a lot more back in return. I love what was said about general service, and I love all that stuff. In our area, I see a lot of people who are really willing because they think it's prestigious to be involved in that stuff. But you don't see them at the detox. You don't see them reading with guys. You don't see them doing that stuff. And, you know, to each their own. And we're all going to have different experiences and we all need different things. And I believe there's a loving God that will guide us in this process. But being a sponsor has done more to entrench the belief in me that this program works. When I had my own experience, I started to wane on it. I got about 5-6 months in, and nobody I was working with was staying sober. Just like what Bill talked about. That's about as close to relating as Bill and I as it'll get. But I could relate. No one was staying sober, and no one was staying sober. And I started to get discouraged, and I thought maybe I better go get busy doing other things. I walked into a meeting one night, and it was on the 10th tradition. In a meeting that didn't even believe in the tradition, so I'm not really sure why they had people present on them. And I presented on the 10th tradition, and I didn't make any friends. I'll tell you that. People stormed out of the meeting. Some of the people in treatment left. It was kind of an ugly bloodbath deal. Really. Love and tolerance of others was not yet my code. Your code, not mine. And there was a guy that I met that night, and he was curled up in the fetal position, crying. It was like his fourth day in this facility that brought the people over to the meeting. And long story short, he came to find me, and he asked me to sponsor him. And I thought, sure enough, this guy is not going to make it. This guy's a dead man. His roommate in treatment, I was also sponsoring him, and he told me, this guy's not going to make it. He's doing this, this, and this. And I said, yeah, well, that's probably right, you know. It's not on line with rigorous honesty. He probably won't stay sober. The guy that told me that ended up going to prison for 4 years because he got drunk and got into a domestic situation. And this guy did what I told him I did. He did what I asked him to do. He actually wrote the inventory. At this point, my life's getting better, and I got to do a little travel, and I'm out of state, and he's calling me up saying, you need to get back here. We need to do my fifth step. And I watched this absolutely destroyed human being turned into one of the most powerful examples of Alcoholics Anonymous I've ever seen. Of course, I'm biased. But he has an integrity and I don't even know how to describe it. He changed. I seen someone change. It wasn't just, I changed here. I witnessed God use me to help another human being. And I realized I had a purpose that I couldn't just pretend to have. That I really had a purpose. I really had a way that I could be of service to God and the people about me. The words on the pages of the book came to life, and I knew that we could recover from alcoholism if we would just work the program. Not because of my experience, because, like I said, you know, I'm completely insane at times. So I could have just fabricated it all. But when I seen someone else do the steps and seen someone else come to life, I knew it was real. I knew it was real. I knew that this program worked. And I seemed to be less inclined to become disillusioned with Alcoholics Anonymous if I'm working with others, if I'm sitting down and sponsoring men in this program. Because it's real easy if you just go to meetings or even from my limited experience in the service structure, if you're just involved with that, to get disillusioned. Because we fight and we're humans, and what I thought was a beautiful spiritual fellowship can oftentimes be a bunch of sharks who aren't exactly well. Those of you that don't believe that, get a divorce. Let me know how it goes. Separate from someone who you've been dating in AA and let me know how it goes. But when I see the hand of God move in another man's life, to quote the book, that's another thing that I've gotten from sponsoring a lot of people. I'll talk and things from the book will just come out. I'm not a page quoter. I can't tell you what page they come from, but ideas from the book, I just have them because I've read with a lot of guys. I've read the book a lot, not sitting around trying to figure it out, but reading with a guy who's trying to not drink. You know, completely different deal. It has enriched my life. You know, and more than that, we love to talk about gratitude in our meetings, right? Just, you know, open topic, which I don't make it too much of those anymore for a reason, because I'm too mean at times. And, let's talk about gratitude. I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. You know, I've experienced gratitude by giving my hand to another person. I've experienced gratitude by taking time out of my busy life that God gave me. God gave me a real full life. And I can't forget that part of that richness in my life is because I've been just adamant about shaking the newcomer's hand and trying to sit down with them and give to them what was given to me. You know, someone who's had the bona fide spiritual awakening or spiritual experience that the big book talks about, you don't have to convince them to sponsor other people. That's all you want to do is just give it to somebody else because it's the coolest thing I've ever done. And I have stuck things in my arm and I have drank things that will do weird stuff to your consciousness. Seeing someone else come to life is still the coolest thing I've ever seen. It is the coolest thing that any of us, I think, will ever get to experience. Because I'm not doing the help. I couldn't even help myself. But I'm putting myself in a position to be helpful. I'm putting myself in a position to be used by whatever this power in the universe is called. And man, that's a good deal. So with that,
which question are we on? How does it help you? Is that which one we're on? Okay. I don't have a thing at my table anymore. So, okay. How does being a sponsor help you? You know, when I first got through the steps and, you know, my sponsor said, okay, now you're supposed to start to raise your hand and start to help people and, you know, start sponsoring. And I was terrified. I had so much fear surrounding it. Like, somebody would ask for my number and I'd give it to them and I'd pray they wouldn't call. I was like, oh, God, please don't let this person call. I'm going to have to help them. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. You know, what if I kill them? What if I say the wrong thing? What if they drink again? It's all my fault. I mean, I was just terrified. And then I realized that it wasn't my responsibility. My responsibility was just to be there. And that if you have a big book between you, It's between them and the words. And it has nothing to do with me. One thing that my sponsor told me recently was, Kelly, you're the only one that's responsible for your sobriety. If you lay it on my shoulders, I will fail. You're the only one that's responsible for your sobriety. And that really hit home for me. She made it very clear that it was my responsibility to do these things. That she can make suggestions, that I can read the book all I want. But if I don't take the responsibility to take the action, it was pointless. How does being a sponsor help me? I think, as we all know, it gets us out of us. When I'm out there working with another woman, I'm not thinking about how I'm going to fix my relationship or how I'm going to get the promotion at work or how I'm going to balance the checkbook or whatever. You know, I'm there with them, and I'm present to them, and therefore I'm not thinking about me and how I need to fix me and all the things that are wrong in my life. Another way that being a sponsor helps me is, like Dustin said, it ingrains these principles in me. It makes me accountable to do the work. You know, if I'm not, like I said, I expect a sponsor to grow in front of me. If I'm not growing in front of my sponsees, that's kind of ridiculous. But so it keeps me accountable to do those things. It keeps me accountable to my home group, because I say, this is my home group, this is where I'll be every week, you know, I would love to see you there. You know, so that means I better be there if I'm expecting them to be there. I never give my sponsees advice. I never make a suggestion that I don't do myself. It's funny because, you know, we're not all well here. And I was getting advice from this lady at one point. I was asking her questions. I was asking her for her advice. And she'd give me some advice, and I'd try it, and I'd call her back, and I'd be like, it didn't work. And she'd be like, gosh, yeah, it never worked for me either. I'm just like, then why are you telling me to do this? Like, it was very frustrating. But, but she was there to help, and she did a wonderful job of that. And some of the advice she did give me did work, you know, and it didn't work for her, but it did work for me. So you just never know what's going to come through you. But like Dustin said, it's not about what... it doesn't rest on us. It's not from us, it's through us as sponsors. And it wasn't from my sponsor, it was through my sponsor. And I think that's just such a cool deal. And it does keep us busy. Like Dustin said, we live an extremely full life. We're extremely busy. It's not always convenient, and it's not always the thing that I want to do. You know, I'm at home, I work from home, by the way. So, you know, there's days where I don't have to get out of my pajamas, and I don't necessarily want to. And my sponsee will call me, and she'll be like, Kelly, you know, can you come by today? I have some free time from 3 to 5. You know, I could really use, you know, some help on this and this and this. And I'm just like, gosh, you know, I've got all this crap to do. There's dirty dishes in the sink. There's laundry to be done. You know, I haven't seen my husband in like a week now, you know. Really? You know, but I don't say that to her. I say, yeah, sure. You know, 3 o'clock, I'll be there. Okay. Sounds good. And we live a very, very busy life. It was 6 months into our relationship before I think we ever actually had a date. You know, it's very, very busy, but it keeps us out of us. It keeps me out of me. And I think that's the greatest gift that it gives me. Thanks.
When is someone ready to be a sponsor? Very simply, the way I was taught is, I'm gonna go to it. If you go to right after the infamous promises on page 84 in the big book. It said that they will always materialize if we work for them. This thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. You know, the deal is once I got up into the ninth step and I actually started knocking on doors and making phone calls and doing my best to make a first approach, that was when, you know, my sponsor sat me down and he said, well, it's time to go help people. I said, oh, buddy, you need to go to a meeting. You've got to have a year to sponsor anybody. I don't have a year of sobriety. And he pointed this chunk of the book out, and we talked about it at length. And as I'm out making amends, I'm starting to live a life, this way of life, this way of living, starting to do 10 as I go through my day. As I go through my day, I continue to watch for where I'm selfish, I'm dishonest, I'm self-seeking, I'm frightened. I start to apply the principles of the first 9 steps up into my daily life. And then, you know, I'm prayer and meditation. I'm seeking a deeper relationship with God. I'm seeking that conscious contact with God. I used to think when it talks about that part that a man properly armed with facts about himself and this solution, that the solution was the big book. And what I've found is that's not the solution. The solution is God. Very plain, simply God. I don't care what you call it. Don't even care. The solution is God. So I need to seek that power. Unfortunately, I can't just sit around and bask in the glory of my experience because I'm selfish, self-centered by nature. And we talked about going out and helping somebody else. So I have to start doing this stuff as I get to that point. So as I'm making amends, I'm starting to live life in 10, 11, and 12. And that's a plain and simple thing. Well, how long does that take? I can tell you honestly, of the guys that I've sponsored that have stuck, we got through the step process on an average of 60 days from the day we met. They were out making amends. They were working with prayer and meditation. They were doing that stuff. And I come from a school of thought that's as it should be. I have friends that think that's way too long. The steps were never intended to be a tedious, long, drawn-out process. We can always go back through the steps. The line of sponsorship I'm in, we work and rework the 12 steps. Why? Because selfishness, self-centeredness, still the root of my problem. I'm still a victim to the delusion that I'm right. So the short answer to this stuff is as I get through the first run through the amends, I need to start being willing to be helpful. Now, people say you can't sponsor for a year. That guy I told you about who's a completely transformed human being, I mean, I seen him the other day kneeling down and hugging his two little girls that he was absolutely terrified to be around prior to working the steps. If that was the rule, that guy would be a dead man. By his own words, not by my opinion, by his own words. He was going around looking for sponsors down in the Twin Cities. I was still living up an hour north. He came and tracked me down because of what he had heard me share on the 10th tradition. He tracked me down, asked me to sponsor him. I was like 6 months sober. If I would have said, I can't sponsor you until I'm a year, I don't know if he'd be dead or not. He thinks he would. Maybe God would have provided someone else, but God provided me. And he asked me. And I just said yes. And we sat down and started going through that process. It's got nothing to do with time. I don't need to shoulder the entire responsibilities of that human being. That is not my job. My job is literally to provide an adequate presentation of the 12 steps. I don't care if you like the meal. I don't care if you want to eat it. But that is the deal. This is our 12 steps. This is our program. It's the only program of recovery we got. And I know it sucks. You know, I mean, let's be honest here. Paying back all the money is not fun. But the promises that come true as the result of making the approaches on my amends are worth it. So, buddy, you need to go help somebody else. Once we get to this process, it's time. Now, I've sponsored guys who nobody really started asking them to sponsor them until they were a year, year and a half sober. They were willing the whole time. They carried the message into the detoxes and the jails and all that stuff. But if you're getting through the steps, it says in the 12th step, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message. That's the deal. Once you get up to that point, it's time to move. And once I get into the ninth step, it's time to start doing that. And it's varying opinions on that. You know, there's varying opinions on when we start sponsoring. But I'm sure that Paul could get you in touch with the history, but our history is the guys that were barely sober at all were out going to the hospitals and the train stations and dragging drunks off the bar stools, and they were immediately into 12-step work. They were brought through the steps rapidly. And I think we lost that in the fellowship. I think we've lost that. It's like you're going to die if you work a 4-step too soon. Never seen that happen. I've seen people go to prison and people drink and people who are going to die any day now because they would not write a 4-step or because they waited too long. So the responsibility, I believe, as a member of Alcoholics Anonymous is to know our history. You know, I don't think when they said, if you want what we have, they meant Joe Blow talking about his trailer hitch across the table. I think they meant it in the way that a textbook would outline it. If you want what we have, as in the writers of this book who are describing to you this experience, then you'll do what we did. Rapidly. Use phrases like next, at once, immediately. Now. You know? So the deal isn't get well and then go help somebody. See, because I thought I was going to get well and then I would be of service. The deal out of my experience is if I go help others, I start to get well. If I sit around in these rooms and try to just get my share down, I'm a dead man walking. I'm a dead man walking. I need to be in action. How can I help you? How can I help you? So, with that,
well, I think Dustin covered that very well. I am going to share one quick thing. I have a sponsee right now who is, she's through the steps. She's making amends like a mad woman. But she's under the restriction of being in a halfway house. And so she can only talk on the phone like 3 times a day for 10 minutes at a time, you know. She can only go to minimal meetings, and it's very hard for her to, you know, raise her hand for sponsorship. She just cannot take on that responsibility right now. And it was funny because what I got to see happen was it's the same woman who's going through this custody battle, and she got very, very sick. She went like 2 weeks of thinking all about her. And she got very, very sick, and she was just fighting and fighting and fighting. Like, I had seen her just change rapidly, and then I just saw her fall apart. And I brought her to a meeting the other night, and the speaker, you know, very clearly was talking about how, you know, I stopped fighting and I help others. And that's how I stopped fighting. And it's just the light went on. And she's like, oh, my God, that's exactly what I needed to hear. You've been telling me that for a week. And so I talked to her today, and she's like, you know, I've been trying to help out a lot lately. And I wake up every morning and I see how I can help. And I just, you know, I do the chores around the house. And I've been, you know, helping the other girls and just listening. And, you know, I've stopped fighting. And she's like, and everything's okay. You know, and it was so cool. I was just like, that's so cool. It was so neat. And, it, you know, she had an experience with that. And even though she wasn't able to sponsor anybody, she was able to be of service to the women in her house. And get through that really, really tough time. But the next question we have here are, what are the responsibilities? Is that the one? What are the responsibilities of a sponsor? And I think the biggest responsibility we have is to be available. If I'm not available to sponsor you, or if I'm saying, oh, next week, or, you know, oh, tomorrow, oh, sorry, I can't do it today, tomorrow, next week, blah, 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 this person's not going to, they're going to get drunk before I ever get to them. I think that is one of our biggest responsibilities, is to be there and to be responsible to that person and to be there when we say we're going to be there. I think the other responsibility we have, like I stated before, is to do what we're asking them to do, to continue to stay accountable to ourselves so that we're doing what we're asking them to do, so that I've done a fourth step and I've done a fifth step and I'm continuing to take personal inventory, and I'm praying and meditating on a regular basis, and I'm involved in my home group, and I'm being of service, and, you know, all these things that are on this spiritual path that we're on. If I'm not doing that, they're sure as heck not going to do that. You know, they're like, well, you're not doing it. Why do I have to do it? So I think that as well is a huge responsibility of us. But, you know, it's up to them to take the action. You know, all we can do is show them the way. You know, I can't make anybody do anything. And it's discouraging at times. You know, I went to my sponsor not too long ago, and I was like, why aren't these women doing what we do here? Like, nobody's sticking. You know, they'll look like they're ready. You know, they're eager. They want to do it all, blah, blah, blah. You know, and then you ask them to do something and they won't do it. And they have every excuse in the book not to do it. And she said, Kelly, are you sober today? And I said, yeah. And she said, that's all that matters. And you know, that was huge, because I do get discouraged at times. You know, when I came in, I was ready. I didn't care what you told me to do. You could have told me to eat who knows what. I'm not even going to say what just went through my head. And I probably would have done it, you know. I didn't care. I wanted to get better. I was so sick of being me that I could have cared less what you told me to do, as long as I didn't have to be the way I was anymore. And, you know, and I just did it. You know, it didn't matter what they said. I just did it. I was like, okay, no questions asked. Sure, great, sounds good. Let's do this. What's next? What's next? What's next? And it was just very, very recently that I got a girl into my life that is the same way. She's always like, what's next? What's next? What's next? We got to amends, and she's making amends like a mad woman, and I can't believe it. I'm like, you made amends to your PO for real? Like, what did he say? I mean, it's just the coolest thing to see. And, you know, and she's excited about it. And that wouldn't have happened if I wouldn't have stayed responsible to this program and to this action and to our primary purpose. I wouldn't have been able to see that, and she may not be here today. So I think that's our greatest responsibility is to be here. So thanks.
If I'm going to ask a guy to not only work these 12 steps and to get informed about the traditions and why that's important, and to take a look at service and to do this stuff, if I'm going to ask a guy of that and then ask him to practice these principles in all of his affairs, I think it's important that I invite them into my life enough for them to see how I'm actually doing with that. In the beginning, it's pretty brass tacks. We're going to go through the big book. I'm not your buddy. I'm not your friend. You want to call? We're going to talk about the book. You know, it's just the way it is. Because that's the way it was with me. I didn't need a friend. I needed a guide. I didn't need someone to sit there and tell me what I needed to do. I needed someone to show me how to get better in Alcoholics Anonymous. But you become joined in a way that I don't know of any other way to do it. You become joined in just this relationship that I didn't even know I could have with another man by working that process together, by going through it. And the guys in my life that I sponsor today are invited into my home. The joke from Edward, who's here today, is my sponsor invited me into his life and showed me how to live, because I'm a human being. And I make mistakes, and I get angry, and he's seen that. You know, my responsibility in the beginning, I believe, is to be a rock, is to be a foundation, is to be a man with a real answer, like the big book says. But as we get through the step process, my role starts to shift a little bit, and it becomes about responsibility, but it also becomes about showing that person my flaws, about showing that person the mistakes that I still make, about being free enough in my life to show them the warts. Because if I don't, I'm going to set an unrealistic expectation about what Alcoholics Anonymous is. I'm gonna set an example that is out of some sort of pride or this false humility or this. I'm gonna set up a life that is different than what's actually going on. And I think I got to be willing to let that person come in and see me make mistakes and to share those mistakes with them. In the beginning, I ought not do that. I've talked to the guys I sponsor and asked them if it's okay to share these experiences anonymously. And they said yes. A guy I sponsor, like I said, was facing charges and all this stuff. And he's year and change sober and he's living with his dad at the time, and he's getting kicked out of there, and he's going through early sobriety fun stuff, you know. And he's telling the guys that he's sponsoring this stuff. He's telling them when they like within the first couple weeks of working together how screwed up his life is. He's not being a man with a real answer. He's talking about getting kicked out. He's facing charges. He's doing all this. And guess what? That guy was like, you know what? I think I need to get a different sponsor. See, but he didn't need to get a different sponsor because this guy had the spiritual awakening. He no longer obsessed about drinking. He was a changed person. He just had drama in his life. That wasn't that newcomer's fault for running to a different guy. I would have too if my sponsor was like, my life's completely screwed. Here, let me help you. I would have ran too. But see, we weren't here for all that external stuff. We've got one primary purpose. Our primary purpose is to deal with alcoholism and how to get free and clear of that. And if a man's got an experience with the 12 steps and he can transmit that to somebody else by way of experience, he's got all he needs to be a sponsor in Alcoholics Anonymous. He doesn't need to have his entire life in cute little boxes all in a row. He just needs to have a way out. And you know, my responsibilities are initially an adequate representation of the 12 steps. Plain and simple. If we're not going through the steps, it's not sponsorship. That's my opinion, and it's a pretty good one. Because that's all we do here. That's the solution. That's the program of recovery. You can disagree all you want. But I got friends who didn't help me get sober when I was drinking. I had all sorts of friends. I didn't need a friend. I needed a guy. I needed someone to show me this. That's my responsibility. If I don't know the book, if I don't know the traditions, if I don't know the concepts, it's my responsibility to know that stuff. Because this person is willing to put their life in my hands. It's not my hands. It's God's responsibility to carry that person through. But it's my responsibility to be as informed as I can be, to have real experience with this stuff. It's my responsibility. I'm not a perfect. I'm not one to feign humility, to pretend with these guys. I just try to be as honest as I can. Some of them buy the whole package, some of them don't. Not my deal. There's guys that actually are paying back the money. Hard to believe. There's guys that are actually willing to show up at service commitments and be of help to new guys in detoxes and stuff on a regular basis. Hard to believe. There's guys that are interested in knowing what our traditions are and our concepts and involved to be, you know, willing to be involved in general service. It's hard to believe. And there's other guys that are like, I got mine. And then they're just going to have theirs. And you know what? I see them have theirs. And I get to see a reflection, like I said, of my good ideas playing out in other people. I get to see what happens when I take what I want and leave the rest. I get to see what happens when I take from AA and don't give back to the people walking in the door. Works for me. My responsibility is to tell them the truth. They've had enough people try to soften it up for them. I don't want to write inventory. You don't have to. You'll die, probably, if you're a real alcoholic. Unless you want to find some other way, then go find some other way. Before we even sit down to read, I lay out what we're going to do, what sponsorship's going to look like. Yes, we're going to go through the steps. Yes, you're going to show up my home group. Yes, we're going to do this. I don't care where you do your fifth step, but I want to hear it too. And someone say, well, you can't say that. Well, I do it all the time. I say it just fine. It works. They're asking for what I have. If they want what I have, I'm going to tell them what I do. If they don't like it, they're free to go somewhere else. I'm not territorial. I don't own my pigeons or my babies or any of this absurd stuff. They're just guys that God brought in my life. He just brought them in, and I'll just do what I can. They don't like it, they're free to go elsewhere. And I'm not afraid to tell guys, you know what, you're not working the program, you're not involved in the fellowship, you're not doing what you said you were going to do when we sat down and lined this deal out. When I explained to you from the best of my knowledge what any lengths was going to look like, you're not doing it. So I'm going to ask you to do one of two things. Either start doing it like you said you were going to, or go find a different sponsor. It's not firing a sponsee. What it is being realistic. You're not doing Alcoholics Anonymous. And if you drink again, which I think you're going to, I want you to know deep in your heart that you didn't do AA. That you were doing something else. You were doing AA Light or Half Strength or Half Measures or whatever. I want you to know that. And I don't want you to know that to be cruel. I want you to know that because when you drink again, there will still be an answer for you here. You won't be like me, crying because AA doesn't work and you can't stop drinking on your own. That's how I was. 4.5 years out of the fellowship, couldn't come back. Couldn't come back because AA doesn't work for me. It's a bunch of guys sitting around whining about their problems. That's not AA. So it's my responsibility to tell them what Alcoholics Anonymous is, and if they're not doing it, to tell them, hey, you're not doing it. So if they drink, they can come back and do it. They still have an answer here. Is that hard line? Yes, yes. I had to take at least one hard line stance today. I couldn't just be Mr. Diplomatic all day long. So the next question here, Kelly, is there one best way to sponsor?
Is there one best way to sponsor? Very simply, no, I don't think so. That is my opinion. I think that the 12 steps in the big book should be involved in every sponsorship. I think that is one guideline that we should all stick to, otherwise we're speaking opinion. Even for me, like when I first started sponsoring women, I was talking about this earlier on lunch break, but when I first started sponsoring women, I thought it all had to be the same. You know, so I was trying to find that same pattern and, you know, the same thing to do with every woman, and so that I could just kind of breeze through it, you know. I thought it all had to be the same, like the structure. And I found that's not true, because every situation's different and every person is different, you know. And I'm led to sponsor in different ways with different women. You know, some women are master manipulators. I was one of them, you know, and so those women need, you know, a lot more, you know, brutality, so to speak. You know, I don't know how else to put it, but, you know, it's what I needed. You know, but they need the truth very quickly, very right now, and very clear. You know, and some women don't need that. You know, they're very aware of their delusions and, you know, and they're very apt to, you know, have an open mind and do the things that we do. You know, so all women are different. Or some women have children and they can't go to, you know, 7 meetings a week, you know. They just can't, you know. And some women don't have jobs and don't have children and don't have husbands. And please, go to as many meetings as you can. You know, get involved. Get in the fellowship. Do what you can. You know, let's do this deal. You know, so I think it's all different, you know. I don't have one particular way to sponsor, even in my life. And, you know, I sponsor different than Dustin sponsors. And, you know, I don't think there's one perfect way to sponsor. But I think as long as the big book is there, I think that's what's important.
Just to kind of touch on what Kelly was saying on that. I sponsor guys who have a couple of kids and a wife and a career and all that stuff. And they can make it to about 2 meetings a week. They can make it to a service commitment about every other week. And they can work with about 2 guys. Cool. Not my deal. I have to be open enough for intuitive thoughts. Hopefully by the time I'm being a sponsor, I'm connected enough to God to receive some intuition in this deal. I have other guys who go to less meetings and do less than that guy who's got a couple of kids and all that stuff. Pretty dangerous territory. I think God meets us where we're at. Some of us are so blessed to give much of our time to the work. And some of us have a lot more obligations than others. I think that's cool. But the thing I always try to bring up is, how grateful are you really? Really? Honestly? Where's the action? Because if I'm being so grateful, I should be strapping on tennis shoes and hitting the pavement. Not just sitting around talking about how grateful I am for everything you've done for me. I should go out and try to help others. And so the only right way to sponsor is whatever way God's leading you to sponsor, with each individual. There's no right way except for the fact that I do it in a big book. It just blows my mind to try to sponsor in any other way. I've been sponsored in previous sobriety, which will tell you how well that worked, with no big book in the mix. It just doesn't, the 12 steps, the directions for the 12 steps are outlined in the book. What possibly could you do other than take someone through the course of action, which will bring them to a spiritual awakening, which can expel the obsession to drink? What could be possibly more important than that? Some of my best friends are guys that I sponsor. Some of my best friends in the whole world, not just AA, are guys that I sponsor. But that started out on a foundation found in our basic text. I believe there's lots of great things we do in AA, but the big book ought to be one of them. Kind of a novel idea in our current circumstances. I'm sitting there listening to people in meetings talk about how they don't have to work the steps, which is true. It's a suggested program of recovery. You're free to do it or don't. But why are you in AA if you're not going to work the 12 steps? It is a 12-step fellowship. I don't know if anyone ever told you that. It is a 12-step fellowship. Based on having an experience with the 12 steps, we go to meetings and share about that experience. It's like there used to be a support fellowship for the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, and now we've drifted the other way, and it's become a support program, if you're one of those big book thumpers, for a fellowship. I don't understand. If the 12 steps aren't involved, I personally, out of experience of drinking and drinking with just this weird, ambiguous sponsorship, I think you're an accessory to suicide. Now, that's a pretty hard-line stance. But we've only got one program. We've only got one set of directions. Even the 12 and 12. You say, I sponsor out of the 12 and 12. Really? It says it's not a replacement for the big book in the 12 and 12. I don't understand. But you know what? I don't have to. Because I'm only responsible for taking the action that I was brought into. That's it. But I sponsor out of the big book. Can a sponsor work with a sponsee's family, employer, etc.? I got called in by the CEO of a company because they wanted to meet me because of what had happened with a guy. Pretty weird deal. This guy had such a profound change that she wanted to meet me, and I'm sitting there going, in her office, going, why did you want to see me? Because I wanted to talk to you about what you did with Tim. I didn't. I just read out of this book and did what it said. Trust me, it wasn't me. I've also had the wives of alcoholics call me and say, this is what's going on. He's on his way out in the cop car. He's going to prison. What should I do? You know what? I think at a time that was real necessary, that I work with a family. That's what the literature, the history talks about. Now I think there's people that can handle that better than alcoholics can. That's the family groups. So I'll get them in touch with a woman in the family groups who can help them with their problem. Because I don't know. I'm a maniac drunk. I'm not a candidate for the family groups unless you count my childhood and all that stuff. I mean, maybe I would have been at one time, and maybe I will end up back there again someday. But I'm an alcoholic. And if your husband's not willing to do the work, I'm not going to chase him. I'm just not going to. So you may want to go see these people over here. I have, however, gotten to know the spouse of one guy in particular, and we've talked about this stuff and hashed it out a little bit and kind of talked about the program and some of this stuff. And it's been a blessing in my life. You know, it really has been. But I don't think it's as necessary as it once was. I think there's people better qualified to handle it nowadays. I think I have a hard enough time trying to carry the message to others and who are alcoholics than to worry about trying to practice it with others besides the alcoholics. I think that there's enough work to be done with drunks. So that's kind of some of my experiences.
I didn't hear what you said. What did you say? Okay. As Dustin was talking, I was reminded of an experience that I had with a sponsee recently. And she, when we very first met, she said, "All I want to do, the only thing I want in the whole wide world is to not want to drink." And it was funny because I read her the 10-step promises. And she said, "There's no way. That won't happen for me." She didn't believe me. There's no way that will happen for me. I can't even imagine living a life like that. And I sat down with her last week, and she had gone through something rather traumatic. And she said, "You know what was weird, Kelly?" She said, "In all of that, I didn't want to drink." She said, "Never once did it come to my mind." And I said, "Isn't that cool?" I said, "The only thing you ever wanted just came true." I said, "What a great blessing." And she just instantly started to cry. You know, she's like, "You're right. The only thing I ever wanted came true." And it was just cool. And I was struck by that as Dustin was talking. So I wanted to share that. But can a sponsor work with sponsees, family, employer, etc.? I honestly have no experience with that. I've never had to work with a sponsee's family or employer. Most of my sponsees have been unemployed, and their families won't talk to them anymore. So, you know, I've never had that experience. I know that my parents, when I first got sober, my mom said, they live all the way out in Baltimore, and they said, "We will fly in for your 1 year if you make it that long." And I said, "Oh, wow, you know, 1 year, that's forever away, whatever, you know." And sure enough, 1 year came, and they flew in to see me get my one-year medallion, and they met my sponsor, you know. And my mom was so ridiculously grateful for this woman in my life. She's like, "You have the most wonderful sponsor," you know. She thanked Kathleen up and down and all around for helping me. And that, you know, that was important, I think. I think it was good for, you know, Kathleen to see where I came from, and it was good for my parents to see the woman who carried the message to me. The next question we have is too firm, too casual, ? I'm not sure what that means, but I know that... you know, Dustin, whenever he talks about me sponsoring women, he says, "Kelly's more rigid than I am." And I don't know if that's true, but I don't think that there's anything more important than telling somebody the truth. And whether that be too firm or too rigid or whatever, I don't think there's anything more I can do than tell somebody the truth. Like Dustin said, you know, if somebody's not doing the work, I'm not going to help them to believe that they're doing AA and AA doesn't work when they drink again. You know, I'm never going to add to their delusion. If they're not doing the work, I'm going to very politely say, you know, I'm disappointed. You know, you're not, you know, doing what's laid out in front of you to get better. You say you want to get better, but you're not taking any of the action. And everything else is seeming a little bit too important other than your recovery. You know, so when you want to do, you know, make your recovery a priority, you know, I'm here to help. And, you know, I just had to tell a woman that the other day because, you know, everything else was more important. She'd just gotten out of treatment and, you know, her life was more important than her recovery. And she hadn't showed up four times in a row to the time that we were supposed to meet. And I just finally said, you know, "I'm very disappointed. You know, I really wish that you would make your recovery a priority. And you haven't, and I haven't seen that yet. And when you're ready to make your recovery a priority, I'm here to help, and I'd love to be of service." And she sent me a lovely text message back that said, "Yeah, I'll call you next week." And I still have not heard from her yet. So, you know, we'll see how that works out. But, you know, too firm, too casual. I think there are sponsors out there that are too casual. I think the very first sponsor I picked was way too casual because I didn't hear anything from her. But I think we have a responsibility, and that's to give them the message that has been given to us and to tell them the truth. And if that's too firm, I guess that's too firm, but that's the way I do it.
Too firm, too casual. One of the things that has kind of struck me recently is that our literature itself, our program itself, has ingrained in it things that are not comfortable. This idea that everything I do to get well is going to be comfortable has just about killed me. Because I don't want to do something that makes me uncomfortable. It must be bad. And if it feels good, it must be good. Sitting on my couch, doing whatever I want to do, feels good. However, it is not effective as far as affecting a change in my life. It's just not. If I want to be different, then I have to go through some of this process of being different by taking different actions. You know, one of our responsibilities, one of the things that's in the literature that a lot of us in Alcoholics Anonymous don't want to take a look at, and it's in our traditions, is that Alcoholics Anonymous is for alcoholics. You know, we don't want to, it's a crazy thought. It's for alcoholics. The open meetings are for anybody. That's great. But one of the things in sponsorship that I do that some people find to be too firm is that we get down to qualification. I'm not going to qualify the drunk. They're going to qualify themselves. But it says right in our book, if you're qualified that they're a real alcoholic, move on from here. If you're not qualified, offer them friendship and cool. Alcoholics Anonymous is for real alcoholics. I don't know. So we go to page 44 and we go, if when you honestly want to, you find you can't drink, or you find you cannot stop, or if once you start, you have a little control over the amount you take. Is this you? I share some of my experiences. I share some of his. Usually is if he's asking me. And we move on down the road. But I don't think it's too firm to say, you know, you've been smoking crack for a long time, and you say you're not even a little bit alcoholic. I think you may, you know, you're welcome here at the open meetings, but I think you may want to go find some people you can identify with. Because we only do one thing extremely well. And if we continue to louse up our fellowship, it may not be here. I don't care how many GSRs we have. I don't care how many area assemblies we do and how much stuff we do in the service structure, and that's going to save us. If we don't stick to the one thing that we can do, which is help alcoholics, when the alcoholic walks in the room and is not identifying because so-and-so is talking about smoking crack and so-and-so is talking about shooting meth and so-and-so is talking about this, then the one person Alcoholics Anonymous was supposed to be for, he can't relate. So that's one of the things I've gotten accused of being too firm about. I believe in our singleness of purpose. I don't know. I think it's important. Because something seems to happen when an alcoholic and an alcoholic sit together. And something seems to happen when a crack addict and a crack addict sit together. And I think it's irresponsible of us as sponsors to just say, you know, it's perfectly okay that you've never taken a drink in your life. Just say you're an alcoholic. You've just been smoking crack rock. I think that we have to, at some point, even though it's uncomfortable, stick to what our traditions say works and what doesn't work, and some of that stuff. I don't think as of yet I've been accused of being too casual. I don't think I have. What's happened is I speak a lot, and I get to do a lot in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I get to be of service, and I get to get around the Twin Cities quite a bit. I've been blessed a lot in that area. You know, it's gotten to the point where the guys that are willing to sit down to look at having me as a sponsor are usually in pretty bad shape and usually pretty desperate and will usually, you know, at least sit down and start going through this stuff. I've gotten the people that want to be my friend. I don't get that much anymore, you know, which ought to tell you something about how I carry myself, you know. I'm not a prime candidate for friendship, apparently. When I'm in Alcoholics Anonymous, I'm doing Alcoholics Anonymous. After the meeting, before the meeting, we're gonna have a good time, and we're gonna laugh and smoke cigarettes and drink coffee. That's what we're gonna do. Have a blast doing that. But when we're in the meeting, or when you sit down in front of me, or when you call me about a specific problem, we're going to talk about a solution to that problem coming out of the pages of our text. Or how about this? Did you take it to God yet? If that's too firm, I'm too firm. See, we're loving alcoholics to death in our fellowship on a regular basis. We have so watered down our program as far as the presentation of it, in my humble opinion, to a point where even if it's taken in this sort of weird, ambiguous, just kind of do whatever you want, that it's not real effective. It was meant to be delivered in full strength by way of our history, and they were okay with getting in people's faces. Not like, you better do this, but if you're going to be here, this is what we do. What's so wrong with that? What's so firm about that? This is how Alcoholics Anonymous has been operating long before I ever got here. This is the program. This is the fellowship. Here's the traditions. Here's the deal. You know, I used to play t-ball when I was a little kid. I don't ever remember showing up with a football saying, no, we're going to play like this. I just did what I was told to do when I went to t-ball practice and went and played the game that I was told to play because I said I wanted to participate. You know, if you want what we have, come and join us. But prior to when I got here and prior to when most people in this room got here, by reading the history, we started letting people dictate to us what we were going to do in our meetings. And in our home group, the Firing Line, we don't do that. We just stick to the basic text. And we just stick to our primary purpose. And if you don't like that, that's fantastic. There's a bunch of meetings you can go to. I can't be so afraid of having someone dislike me, that people-pleasing selfishness that looks like a good thing. I just have to be willing to stand on the principles that were laid out for me by my sponsor and just stand there and just be a rock based upon our primary purpose and having God right in the middle of the deal. And let the chips fall where they may. The whole thing, I hear it a lot, we'll love you until you can love yourself. I want you to know that the reason why I got to Alcoholics Anonymous is because I was loving myself too much. I was a selfish, self-centered, egotistical, driven human being. And the problem wasn't that I didn't love myself. The problem was that I was the only person that I cared about. I was the only person that I seen. I haven't had people that loved me until I could love myself. What I've had is people that were willing to hold me accountable until I could start to be accountable myself. Not to some weird idea that they had, but if I said I was going to be at home group, by God, I was going to be at home group or I was going to hear about it. Not that I said I was going to get my four-step done and then just decided it wasn't something I wanted or that they determined it was time for me to get my four-step done, but they said, you know, you told me you were going to be done with this by now. Where is it? Holding me accountable to what I said I would do. Is that too firm? I don't know. Probably. I needed it. I was strapped down to a gurney. You know, I'm a last gasper. I've tried taking my life so many times, it's ridiculous. The fact that I'm standing here today is unbelievable. And I'm one of those young people in AA you hear about who you've probably drank more than or you've probably spilt more than I've drank. Really? You know, alcoholism is alcoholism. If I'm dying, I'm dying. And I need a solution. I need someone who loves me enough to tell me the truth, tells me how to get well. Not tells me like in the, you better do this, growling in people's faces. That sort of sponsorship is so ugly, I couldn't even imagine it. I wouldn't last with a guy like that because I'd tell him to go F himself. Because that's the type of alcoholic I am. But you're going to do this. No, I'm not. You know, I'll go drink just to spite you. But someone who says, you know what, I've been where you've been. I've been as arrogant as you are. I've been whatever, and I can show you how to not to be. That's what I needed. And it wasn't always comfortable. Much like this last session.
Okay. How to deal with slips is the next question. Well, You know, I've never had one, so I don't know how I'd personally deal with it, but I've had many sponsees who possibly have. They usually stop calling me before they slip, so I don't even know if they have or not. But actually, I had one girl. She asked me to sponsor her, and, you know, she went out and relapsed, and she called me, and she was crying, and she was oh so sorry that she didn't do the work, and, you know, all this stuff, and I'm ready now, whatever. And so I said, why don't you come over and detox on my couch, you know, and she was home alone. So I said, you know, I work from home. Why don't you come on over and hang out at my house for the day? And so she did, and, you know, I let her detox and throw up and eat my food and throw it up and et cetera, et cetera. And at the end of the day, I laid out to her what she would need to do to stay sober, what I had to do to stay sober, what was in the big book and, you know, and all that stuff. And I never heard from her again. And I heard later on through the grapevine that I was much too rigid and I was asking way too much of her. And she just was not possibly going to be able to do that. And I just laughed. I thought it was so funny that, you know, a day after, you know, throwing up everything you ate, that you were still weren't willing to do what we do here, you know? And it, like, it's just, it's ironic to me, you know, and I'm saying this all from opinion because I've never relapsed, but it's ironic to me that somebody who doesn't want to do the work would stay. I think if I didn't want to do the work, there's no reason why I would hang out with you people. Like, I just would not be here. I would be somewhere else, you know? I just don't think I'd be here, but very much my opinion. I don't know. Thank you.
Real quick, last two questions here. How to deal with slips? Very simply, God gives second chances, and so do I. You know, if it's good enough for God, it's good enough for me. I've gotten to get sober several times, and I'm okay with that. There used to be a time if a guy kept relapsing, I would finally just say, buddy, something's not working here. And I encourage you to talk to old so-and-so here. He could probably, maybe you guys would identify more, and I try to lead him in the direction of somebody else. I don't, you know, it's so absurd. Guys call up, I'm very sorry I drank. It's like, dude, you're an alcoholic. It's what alcoholics do. You know, it's weird to apologize to another alcoholic for drinking. That's a weird practice in Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm so ashamed. But look around, man. Like, what are you ashamed of? We've done more damage in the state of Minnesota in this room than you could have possibly done in the month that you were out drinking. Don't worry about it, you know? The other deal is we get down to brass tacks. Are you ready to do this yet? Alcohol is the best thing we have in this entire universe for Alcoholics Anonymous. You listen to people talk about how much they hate drinking in AA. It's the weirdest thing ever. Alcohol is a great persuader. I don't want to pay back the money. Guess what? 4.5 years of absolute hell on earth, and I became real willing to make the amends. I became real willing to do this not a very fun program of recovery. I became willing to do it because alcohol beat me into a state of submission. So, you know, I was reading this article by Dr. Silkworth, and he said UAAs are the only ones that make a big deal out of an alcoholic drinking. That's a paraphrase, Paul. Don't talk to me after the meeting. We're the ones that make it a big deal. Alcoholics drink by nature. That's what we do. The miracle of Alcoholics Anonymous is a way of living that can enable us to not have to drink today. Pretty cool. Can a person sponsor more than one person? How many is too many? I'm currently sponsoring 5 guys. I'm not sponsoring 5 guys as in 5 brand new guys. I'm working with 5 guys that over the course of the last, the oldest sobriety with him is 2 years, down to a guy with 60 days and sprinkled throughout that deal. So these are not guys that are very high maintenance. They're out kicking butt, taking names, living life, doing the deal. And what I've found for me is I can work most effectively with like 1 brand newcomer at a time, possibly 2. There's been times that I've taken on five, six, seven new guys within the stretch of a couple weeks because I was speaking a lot and people were asking and people were asking. And I just don't feel that's responsible. I have enough friends who can adequately sponsor someone that I believe it's my responsibility to take them by the hand and get it put into the hand of another person that can help them. Because I can, in my arrogance, think that I can sponsor a whole mess of guys. If I'm sponsoring guys that are already doing the deal, fantastic. But to take on a bunch of newcomers, my life is just too full. So I work with one brand new guy at a time. And the guys that I sponsor that still stick around and don't go find deeper spiritual giants, which some of them probably ought to, you know. Because I've only got one message, do what's in the book. You know, I don't have all the latest self-help spiritual stuff anymore. I tried it, doesn't work for me. So I just stick to our history and I stick to Alcoholics Anonymous and I seek God in other ways. But the deal is it's just, you know, I tried grouping guys up, like get like seven newcomers in a room and try to take them through the book at the same time, just me. Ooh, there's some ego, you know, there's some arrogance. I'm not saying it won't work for the people. I'm saying for me, it just didn't work by way of my experience. I didn't have enough time to devote to their every waking why me moment. You know, I can only work with one fresh guy at a time. So that's just kind of the deal. You know, I'm going to let Kelly come on up here and kind of close up any thoughts she has. But other than that, I want you to understand that everything that I've shared today is filtered through my experience. And it may not be your experience. But understand, like, I don't know most of you personally, and it wasn't any personal shot at you. I wasn't trying to be adversarial. I just love Alcoholics Anonymous, and sponsorship has been one of the richest relationships I've ever known, is being a sponsor and being sponsored. And I'm just so grateful for the opportunity and not only to be here, but to be a sponsor and to have experiences. And hopefully some of you got something out of this. If you didn't, that's cool too. I just was up here doing my dance and Kelly was doing hers. And I will speak for both of us when I say that we had a pretty good time today. So I think Kelly's going to come on up. We're going to do a little break and then do some questions and answers, open mic stuff. If you guys are still willing and able.
I think Dustin covered that how many is too many sponsees or whatever. I know that for me, I always say yes to a woman because most of them don't stay. So I just always say yes. You know, today has been just absolutely wonderful. You know, my fear left right away in the morning, so I was very grateful for that. But like Dustin said, you know, he took the words out of my mouth. We are not experts on this. It is trial and error. You know, we've tried many different things. You know, we've made mistakes. You know, I'm shocked that Dustin didn't share his wonderful story about kidnapping somebody, sponsoring them on the beach in one day, steps 1 through 9. You know, it was rather nuts, but you know, I'm kind of disappointed I didn't get to hear that today. But we've made mistakes in this, and it's all trial and error, and we all make mistakes, and you know, but it's fun to do, and you get a lot of good stories out of it. We are so grateful to be here and so grateful that you guys invited us in. It's great to see this many people at a district function. That's just cool. So thanks for letting us.